This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Did we get a basketball?
Plus, we lost Fred. Oh my God, what a year! Don't let it hit the door. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. All right, Chris Harrington coming up next. Jeff Calkins, show 92.9 FM, ESPN. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush, in honor of the Memphis Grizzlies, who keep running up the hill towards 500, and then getting shoved down just as they're about to plant their foot on top.
By the Wizards. Well, let's talk about Friday first, because that at least looked promising. Jazz return, beat the Bucks, a lot of good in that one.
Yeah, no, I thought Ja looked great, and that may have been his best game of the season. I know it wasn't his highest scoring game, but in terms of total play, controlling the game as a scorer, as a playmaker, making good decisions, being actively involved in the defense, I thought Ja was fantastic in that game. And you know, the Grizzlies won. Jaren just has been good, keeps being good. Obviously, you're at home against a Milwaukee team that doesn't have Giannis, but that's the schedule. It was a very good return for Ja Morant.
All right, so what happened then? And we've discussed it generally speaking, but what's your sense of what happened last night?
They just weren't good. I mean, you lose games in the NBA, you know, like the Grizzlies have a losing record, so it's no shock. Any game they lose is not a shock.
Right.
I mean, and you look around the league, like the night before, Minnesota loses at home against Brooklyn. And San Antonio, who had just beaten the Thunder 3 games in 10 days or whatever it was, loses at home to Utah.
Right.
So, like, losses happen. The problem for the Grizzlies is, you know, disappointing losses just come with a schedule, but they haven't balanced them out with surprising wins. Like, they've only gotten one half of that equation. That's sort of the problem. In terms of last night, I mean, Washington's been playing better. I mean, they started 1-15. I think they're like 5-8 or something like that since. They were at home. I think they played with a lot of energy, a lot of pace, a lot of effort. I think the Grizzlies were not sharp. I think they were generally sloppy for most of the game. And then they had a bad shooting night on the road. So you put all those things together, you know, and you lose a close one. I don't think Ja was very good. His stat line looks okay at the end, 21.7 assists. But there was never a point in that game where it felt like he took control of the game or he just seemed like he was not really effective in a meaningful way in that game. Jaren was very good, but then at the end, when they're trying to mount the comeback and finally push through, he missed like his last five shots.
Yeah.
And so other than that one stretch in the third quarter where they went on that 19-0 run and they were forcing turnovers and getting out in transition, it was just a pretty sloppy game from the Grizzlies, I thought.
Yeah, Cam Spencer, 0-for-5 from 3. Both Ja, so Ja, and you mentioned this in the piece you wrote, the Daily Memphian today about the game. Ja and Sed both seem to be, Cedric played 23 minutes, Ja 27, I think. Do you think that's a product of minutes restriction there?
Well, I mean, Eastlow had been asked sort of about both of those players before the Milwaukee game, because they'd both missed the previous game. Like, they were both coming off injury, because Coward had been, had heel soreness that had missed, and so they were both coming back. So he was asked about that. And with Jai, it was like the typical, like, guys returning from injury, you know, this is a standard situation that we see. So that, no, there's nothing unusual with that. With the Coward thing, he sort of, if you read between the lines, he's basically suggesting that, you know, the medical staff is monitoring his total usage over the course of the season and is probably trying to modulate that a little bit and wary of overtaxing him, especially now that he's having this heel soreness issue. This is a guy who's a rookie playing the NBA schedule for the first time and also, like, missed basically his entire college season last year, you know, with a shoulder injury. So, I mean, I don't know what the, exactly what the numbers are or what the system is, but I think with all these players, but Coward in this case, I think they're monitoring their total workload and they're adjusting that as they go. And so if it feels like it's getting a little high, you adjust it down. It feels like that's what's happening with him. And I thought, in terms of last night, I thought his 23 minutes was a bigger problem for the Grizzlies than Josh 27. Especially when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is out and now you're having to cobble together lineups that don't, that you haven't really played together and don't quite fit, and you're trying to play, you know, GG Moore on a wing, you know, Max Prosper Moore on a wing. And I thought Coward was good. And so I think 5-6 more minutes of Cedric Coward might have made a difference in that game.
Yeah, KCP leaves with an injury, joining the throng on the injury list. Hopefully over the next month and 2 months, we're going to get players back. What should be the order of return here? Like, what's going to happen now?
Well, to start, it's unclear what the absences are on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Jock Landale, right? Like, Landale has not been listed out these last two games. He's been listed questionable, doubtful, whatever, and then ends up being a scratch.
Right.
And so the implication there is that this is more of a day-to-day thing with him. So we'll see. We have no info on the Caldwell-Pope thing. You know, he had a hamstring thing, and he set the second half. So we don't know what's happening there. As far as the other guys, there's so many of them I may start forgetting. It feels like Ty Jerome is probably the next back. His return to play, we have not hit the range. There was a 3-week range of his return to play, which is a wide range.
Right.
And we haven't entered that yet, but I think we're about to. And so I want to say off the top of my head, it was like, you know, somewhere between like January 5th and January 20th or something like that, right? Which is, I guess that's closer to 2 weeks. So it was somewhere in that early to late January period. So sometime in the month of January, you see, it seems like he's supposed to be back unless we get some other update that changes that. The Zach Edey reevaluation would be coming up, I think, around January 10th, 11th, 12th. Yeah. It's still more than a week away, even the reevaluation.
The front end of that reevaluation. Yeah, right. It was a
reevaluation. He was going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. So then once you're reevaluated, you determine the return. There's no return time frame for Zach Edey. There's a reevaluation period. And the reevaluation is still a week or two away. But once he's reevaluated, then we don't know what it's going to be. And so there is no return to play frame for Edey right now. There is for Jerome. But those seem likely to be the next two. I mean, Conchar had a surgery, and so we'll see on that. Pippen was always going to be a post-trade deadline thing. And then the Brandon Clark, there's a reevaluation on him that's going to be after the Edey reevaluation. And so it seems like Jerome – sometime in January, and you would hope, not certain, but you would hope Edey sometime in January.
How about Vince?
Oh, that's the one I forgot about. I don't know. There hasn't been any kind of update on him at all.
Right.
It feels like just one of these sort of soreness situations that I don't know. I got nothing for you.
So what are we looking forward to here in the month of January? Obviously, the schedule picks up, gets much stiffer. You got the Sixers next. Then Lakers, two games against the Lakers, then Spurs, Suns, and Thunder. But I guess, like, if you're looking ahead for the Grizzlies, it is how they manage. Right now, the most interesting thing probably is how Ja continues to look in his return, right, and the team around and with Ja in his return. And then after that, It's the injury returns and how they juggle and look as the hopefully as these injured guys return. Is that sort of the two most interesting pressing things on the horizon?
Well, from a team, from an in-season competitive standpoint, it is, can you hang around in that play? I mean, you could hope to break through, but I don't think that's likely with the injuries in the schedule right now. I think you hope to still do what you've been doing and hang around in that play-in range and stay close enough to give yourself a chance to get healthier and make a run, you know, to move up in those standings, you know, by the end of the season. So that's still sort of where you're at. Trying to win enough to give yourself a chance once you get healthier if you get healthier. I think the more interesting thing, and this is sort of what I'm writing about this morning that I'm going to file shortly after the show, is Ja's back. There's 6 weeks between the trade deadline and Ja's back. And I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are going to trade Ja Morant at the deadline. I think that is unlikely. They have given no indication they're interested in doing that. But there is some underlying logic that if you set aside all the rumor and conjecture and theorizing and everything else, there's just underlying logic to the situation. There are, you know, forces of nature or whatever Ned Beatty says in Network, right? There are primal forces at work. And I think Ja Morant being back on the floor, and if he stays on the floor and how well he plays and what that does over the next 6 weeks to influence the Grizzlies' decision-making, maybe at the deadline or maybe just beyond, just thinking about taking it into the summer. Like, I think there are decisions that have to be made with Ja Morant sometime in probably the next year and a half. And I think these next 6 weeks may or may not determine that decision. But I think they're an important period for adding, you know, evidence to whatever decision is made.
Well, and the force at work, the one of the key forces at work, is he would like a contract extension. He probably would have liked a contract extension last summer. And would certainly like a contract. He will not be a happy camper next year if he doesn't have a contract extension, right? So you either
although that would still not be a final year, right?
Right.
Like if you look at a past history here, I mean, and Jaren's the big one, right? Because most guys are just not Ja Morant, but Jaren's equivalent. They took Jaren. They did an extension with Jaren the summer before, like on the eve of what would have been the summer, but. They did it the summer before what would have been the final season.
Yeah.
So they took him through the next to last season of his contract and then did an extension. If you follow that same pattern with Morant, it could still go for another year and a half. But I don't think it's going to go for 2.5, which is the length of the contract.
Right. So if that's true, though, if he will not be happy next year if you don't give him a contract extension this summer, you either trade him, you extend him, or you have an unhappy Ja Morant by next year, right?
Yes. And another part of this to me, and I sort of make this point of what I've been writing this morning, is in addition to all that, which is true, a decision about your future course with Ja Morant also is basically a decision about your future course as a franchise. And how long are you willing to wait to make that decision?
As to whether you're re-gearing or not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you could kick the can down the road for a year and a half with Ja, well, you're also kicking the can down the road on deciding, like, you know, going embracing one future or another in terms of we're a Ja team or we're not a Ja team. It feels like that decision needs to be made sooner than that.
What other decisions would hinge on that? In other words, are you living exactly the same way anyway, or are you making other decisions depending on that big decision?
Well, I mean, it trickles down possibly to a Jaren thing. If you're committed to trying to win on the Ja timeline, Jaren's on the same timeline. So that seems to make it easy. I think there's enough longevity in Jaren's game that you could split the baby on that. Right. You could decide to pivot from Ja and keep Jaren. I think that's very possible. But these things are somewhat related in terms of your decision-making. And then there's the question of, like, if you're moving on from Ja at some point, like, how are you replacing him? And they got all kinds of guys now on the roster who are kind of interesting, but none of them are Ja Morant.
I was talking to Peter. It's funny because I was thinking about one of the things that Jeffrey and I talked about before the show began was at some point we're going to get into all these big questions in Memphis sports. Will Penny be back as the head coach in 2026? Will Ja Morant be traded? Will Elise be signed? Like, there's a lot of things that are up in the air. On the Ja thing, in terms of the trade deadline itself, doesn't he feel almost untradeable? Like, he is a player with a massive contract who wants an extension, who is bad, like, and injury prone and difficult. Like, is there a more untradeable player in the league? Like, what is there to recommend?
Well, I mean,
sure.
I mean, it's easy to do the, like, Yes.
It still feels like he's untradeable.
Well, he's for value you would want. I mean, that's part of the issue too, is that there are forces that work against each other. A job that is easier to trade is a job you're less likely to want to trade, and a job you want to trade is harder to trade. And so there's that complication of it. How much can the next 6 weeks change anything? Right. How much can it make the Grizzlies more comfortable with an extension, which, you know, they wouldn't be able to do until the summer anyway, but, you know, in terms of their decision-making, and how much of it does it change what a potential trade market is, too? So all that's in play, too. I don't know that 6 weeks is enough time to move the needle on either of those things, at least in a positive direction. They could move it in a negative direction. I think it's important. I think it's an important period. Right. I think it matters. You know, if he stays on the floor for the next 6 weeks and plays at an all-star level, I don't think that's a confirmation of the future, but it makes you feel a little bit better about it.
Makes everything easier, and it does make him then more tradable if that's the way you want to go.
Yeah.
You talked to him, or you were in the locker room, I gather, when he was talking, whatever, after the game against Milwaukee, where he sort of, I gather, not in the context of these larger decisions, but he made the point, he just has to stack games. Is that, I mean, was the...
Yeah, he and Isolo both said that, and that's it's obvious, but it's true. Like, you know, when you talk about these two games, and, you know, he's really good against Milwaukee and not as good as it seemed against Washington, it's like, it's hard to build a rhythm, like, when you're not playing. And so, I mean, we've seen this with Jaren. That's an interesting thing this season. Of Isolo had some interesting comments about Jaren against Milwaukee, where he basically said, you know, he was so motivated to come back.
That was interesting.
That maybe he wasn't his best self physically. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically said he sort of played himself back into peak shape. And now, over the last seven games, Jaren's playing all NBA level play.
Yeah, that was interesting. Those comments, it had not occurred to me, honestly, as he was struggling earlier, that this was physical. But that's what at least one of the possibilities that Isolo seemed to suggest.
Yeah, and I think that's true, sort of across the board. I mean, I think people like to watch the games and think of, like, you know, why isn't everyone playing 38 minutes? And why? I mean, these are real people playing a very hard game. And so I think the physical, where they're at physically and all of that plays into stuff every day, probably more so than you want to acknowledge.
All right. A couple of things. Oh, by the way, I take it, are you here or in blizzard struck Minnesota?
I'm here.
You're here. And is the family back in the blizzard?
Well, my son and my wife are in Minnesota. My daughter's in Chicago. I'm not sure what the weather is in Chicago right now.
Is it bad in Minnesota? I mean, other reports suggested it was pretty.
I mean,
it was Minnesota.
I mean, there's a lot of snow. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. You know, people are used to it. Life goes on.
Okay. You did continue during the break. You did continued your Grizzly countdown. I forgot what number we're up to here, but it was OJ Mayo. Makes an appearance, and he certainly had a colorful Grizzlies tenure, did he not?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I think what I wrote was he was sort of the most star-crossed tenure for a good player, maybe, that we've had. I mean, the Ja tenure has been kind of star-crossed too in its own way. But Mayo is someone who I think maybe some people think of as like a bust or a disappointment or whatever, and he was to a degree, but he was good. You know, he finished second in the Rookie of the Year to Derrick Rose. He was a quality starter on two pretty good Grizzlies teams, and he was an effective sixth man on two really good Grizzlies teams, and even in 4 years left his mark on the franchise record books. But there was all kinds of messiness around him, some of it his doing, some of it not his doing, throughout those 4 years.
Some of the stats from your piece, by the way. Mayo, he averaged 15.2 points a game while shooting 38%, from the three throw line. He got six man of the year votes every year after he would move to the bench. How did it come to pass? There was talk early in his tenure about making him a point guard, right? Wasn't that one of the things that was suggested
and Lionel
had no interest?
That was media talk and maybe some OJ Mayo talk.
Right.
I think Lionel Hollins like entertained that briefly and long enough for him to show that that's not really the way to go. Lionel, I think, was right in retrospect about that.
I actually
wrote a piece at the time that I sort of looked into three different potential paths for Mayo and how well his production fit the three models. And my conclusion and my comps were like, I don't remember, Chauncey Billups as a big point guard, Dwayne Wade as a ball dominant off guard. I think it was like Rip Hamilton as a shooting specialist off guard. And I sort of determined in getting into the weeds of like usage and turnovers and all this kind of stuff that Mayo really fit the Rip Hamilton model more anyway. So I was sort of with Lionel by that point on that.
OJ just wasn't physically that gifted, honestly. Like he made himself into a really good basketball player. He was a really good shooter. But in the end, it's funny because he came out of this sort of five-star, you know, McDonald's All-American, and you would expect him to, but he was physically limited, honestly. Like he wasn't that big. He wasn't that explosive.
I mean, he was good. He can get above the rim. He could dunk. It's just the gap between what his reputation had been coming out of high school versus his reality in the NBA. I think he was a player who peaked early physically. I think he developed early, and so when he was like a sophomore or junior, he probably was that much better than all the other guys around him. But by the time 3 years later or whatever, when they get to the NBA, that wasn't as much the case.
It's funny. I forget this. He was involved in the trade that didn't go through, where he was going to be traded to where? Milwaukee? Dallas? Where was he going? Milwaukee?
He was going to go to Indiana. But it was a three-team trade that also involved the Pelicans, I believe.
I see. Josh McRoberts and a first-round pick. And that trade was declined because a fax was sent after the deadline. So there you go. And explain to folks what happened in Game 4 against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's sort of complicated, and you can read it in the thing, but it was then, and I don't remember whether it was the first overtime, second overtime, all of that. But at some point in that game, Mayo had hit a couple big shots, and at some point in that game, they were in a situation, and he'd come off the floor because he had five fouls. And then at some point in that game, they needed to intentionally foul to try to extend the game, and they sent Mayo back into the game, and Lionel Hollins instructed him to foul. And I was sitting there. The reason I have this is because I was literally sitting right in the sight line of this happening. And Mayo basically was motioning to Lionel, I got five, and Lionel sort of shook him off. And it's still not clear to me whether Lionel didn't sort of forgot in the moment he had five fouls or Lionel didn't care. But they sent Mayo back in, and he fouled out with the intentional foul. It ended up, like, Gravis Vasquez hit a huge shot to extend the game, but they lost in the third overtime.
All right. And then finally, Chris, last thing, and then I'll let you go. Don Bryant passed away over the weekend. Who was Don Bryant?
He was early in his career, he was mostly known more as a songwriter. He was a singer and a songwriter on the Memphis soul scene. Co-wrote I Can't Stand the Rain with his wife, Ann Peebles, most famously. And then later in life, reemerged as a solo artist and recorded several very good albums in the last 10, 15 years. So he's a notable figure on the in that Memphis soul era.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Talk again tomorrow. Thanks. Chris Harrington's with the Daily Memphian. Can read his piece on Ja. Going to go up here in just a little bit over the Daily Memphian. Can read his piece on O.J. Mayo, which went up over the weekend. All right, Jeffrey, I mentioned earlier that we were going to look and think about some of these big questions that loom in 26 in the Memphis sports scene. We'll take up that one over with Ja, but there's some others as well. We may get into some. We may get into some later on in this week. Again, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday. We are taking off to celebrate the new year. Good to be back, though. We're going to take a break. 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. All right, a few things to clean up. We have someone suggested Ashley Henderson as Sports Person of the Year, first team All-American. But she entered the portal, I think, didn't she?
I thought so.
We're going to hold that. I think I'm going to hold that against her. I have a rule. Unless you've delivered, you know, Final Four glory. If you enter the portal and leave, I'm sorry, you can't be Sports Person of the Year.
I mean, to me, like, this is the P.J. Haggerty.
Yeah, it's a P.J. Haggerty thing. You can be a same thing. He was great, but then he left. And if you leave after having delivered true glory, then we'll consider you. But they both were awesome. They both lifted their team into the tournament. But then they're
responsible for great years, but they didn't have great endings.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do Sports Person of the Year. We did have another vote for 100 Eurocheck, of course. Also on the bagel front, someone suggested Hive Bagels downtown. I was lamenting earlier the state of bagels in Memphis. I have had the Hive Bagels.
Are those the thin?
They're not thin. There's those. That guy. There's a guy. I don't. He still does it. He's got a food truck.
Yeah.
He sells Canadian bagels.
Yeah, I was going to say Montreal, right?
Canadian bagels, which are thin, and I've had his once. The only food truck I really ever do is Taco and Ganas, because I never know where the hell food truck. I'm not someone who can keep track of on a Tuesday. They're in
this is where you and I not being on Instagram.
I am now on Instagram, but
Aaliyah
I'm not,
only always knows where these things are because she follows
reliable.
Them on Instagram.
Yeah, so I don't. So unless like the Taco and Ganas things, they're nailed down. You know, not technically nailed, but they're there.
Yeah.
So it might as well be a restaurant. So I do go to those food trucks. Maybe I should try new food trucks in the new year. Anyway, I've tried Hive Bagels downtown, and I recall them as being good, but I need to probably refresh my memory on that. If you have another bagel suggestion, I'll take that as well. Someone suggested Reggie Barnes. Reggie Barnes, who passed away this past year, 5 decades of support for Memphis sports. I hate to say it, unbelievable supporter of Memphis sports, but if we're going to go posthumous support of Memphis sports.
No one is more seriously.
You're competing against Fred here.
Yeah.
Right? So we can't do that. We still have no real candidate. I think Brooks Monaghan would be the best candidate we have right now for Memphis sports. We were talking earlier, Bills. This is not a Bills show, even though they are, of course, close to my heart. We were talking about the Bills' path. Jeffrey says he doesn't hate the path. The path is going to be on the road, and the Bills under this current regime, 0-5 on the road in the playoffs. Josh was only the quarterback for 4 of those. Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback in the first when they lost to Jacksonville.
On the road.
Josh is 0-4 on the road, but you can't blame Josh.
Correct.
Do you have his stats in front of you?
Josh was completing basically 62% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick, and he was averaging 280 yards per game.
Yeah. The problem with the Bills is not Josh. It's everything else, including now the kicker. So there you go. I did want to take up some of these questions for the new year. Real quick, though, are you a fan of how this NFL season is playing out? I find it the fact that Pittsburgh could not beat Cleveland yesterday is just a hideous loss. Now, they didn't have DK Metcalf.
Correct.
What a now, and in fairness, this is partly why Seattle traded him.
Yes.
And so it comes back and it bites you in the ass. He's suspended. And so there you need a touchdown late and you're throwing to Marcus Valdes-Scantling.
Correct.
And you can't even get on the, just like,
and you can't even get on the same page. Half the time, Rodgers was throwing it inside. MVS was running outside. Like, I saw the behind view on the fourth down play where Kenny was chipping and then he kind of ran an angle route. And it looked like he's open, but... Man, on fourth and goal, throwing it short against NFL defenses, like
I don't. By the way, at all think that Pittsburgh was obsessed with not letting Myles Garrett break the record against him. I think they were obsessed, as you should be, with not letting Myles Garrett destroy your offense and accounting for Myles Garrett at all times. You account for Myles Garrett. Now, was Aaron Rodgers in particular quick to get rid of the ball because Myles Garrett? Yes, I did think so. Was that because he didn't want to give up the sack record? Who the hell cares? Who even remembers? Like, it's not the pitcher who gives up a home run record. Do you remember who T.J. Watt tied it against? Or do you remember?
I just always assume it was always...
Who the hell cares?
It was always Andy Dalton. I just feel like anytime it was a record, it was Andy Dalton.
Now, the fact that it was T.J. Watt, a former Steeler, but that is not the story of this game. I know it was a narrative talking about
it. No, I felt like, yes, Myles Garrett's on the other side. Guess what you want to do when you don't have a great offensive line? Get the ball out of your hands.
And when your quarterback's 69.
Correct.
You know, you probably don't want him broken by Myles Garrett. But I don't, you know, in the end, this is a DK Metcalf. And so now you have this unbelievably fun game set up between Pittsburgh and the Ravens, where people are wondering which of these teams will obviously win the division, but then which of these coaches will be back.
Right.
And there's even scuttlebutt, will the Ravens decide to move on from Lamar? There was rumors about Lamar. He's got one more year on his deal, but there are questions about, if you look at Lamar, he has great years and he has crappy years. And he doesn't, and so...
Well, and Lamar's also got a similarity with something that we're going to talk about this summer. Lamar's agency is Lamar Enterprises.
His agency is Lamar Enterprises. He is part of his success has been how physically gifted and explosive he is.
No question.
How is that going to age? And so if you were Minnesota or Miami, would you want to trade for Lamar?
Yes. What choices do you have?
Would you give up two firsts?
Do I get the agreement of I'm assuming that means an extension.
And you got to extend him. Two firsts. And at least two firsts.
Does Miami have all that?
I don't know if Miami would have even the room to take on Lamar and whatever. But
it does not feel like Miami's going to have.
Those Harbaughs seem to. You could give them a quarterback back if you're Minnesota.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, JJ.
JJ, he's played with Harbaughs before.
But I do think both those teams would be better with Lamar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
It seems precipitous for Miami to go with Lamar, because are they good enough to really win at a high level? But maybe. Maybe. I mean, they keep winning games. They have somewhat righted their season. They had a soft schedule with a bunch of games. But it's kind of fun. And now we got the 49ers-Seattle game, too. Like, there are two epic games on schedule next week.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely epic
games. And then we have the NFC South pillow fight.
Oh yeah, we got that one too, and we got the Panthers and the Bucks. So yeah, it's shaping up to, after a ridiculous Christmas, just ridiculous Christmas.
One of the most inconsequential, just awful days of ball.
Unbelievable. Like, but it was totally a commentary on how wildly unpredictable this season was. That all those games would be meaningless.
Correct. If you saw those things on paper,
that Detroit's game would be meaningless, that any game played by Kansas City would be meaningless.
Right.
It was ridiculous. There's no way that all those games should have been meaningless, but they were. Okay. So in terms of, and we may do more of this week, but in terms of big questions for 2026, okay, let's go on record and we'll check back next year, Jeffrey, see how we did. Okay. With Ja, I ask two questions. There's two. Will he be traded by the trade deadline? And the second is will he be a Grizzly on this day next year?
Okay, let's start with the first one. Will he be traded by the deadline? I'm saying no. It seems to me the mechanics of working all that out, like, it gets back to the fundamental question that Chris has said.
Let's have you answer them both, though. Let's answer them both at the first, and then you can discuss.
All right. And then the second...
Will he be a Grizzly at this time next year?
I'm going to say no. And the reason why is I think the contract situation is going to come up, and I don't love the fact that Ja's now essentially representing himself. I think that makes it much more difficult.
I would say the same
personal.
Two things. Will Ja be traded by the trade deadline? No. Will Ja be a Grizzly this time next year? No. And I think in terms of the trade deadline, it's just, I really do, as Chris pointed out, are there more untradeable players? Sure. Look at contracts, guys who don't play. Yes. But he is, with all due respect, why would you want him? Like, you would have to, here's what you're taking on. You're taking on a guy who makes a lot of money, who's been injured, you can't count on him playing, who's been a problem off the court, and moody, even this year, like, whatever. He's not just a go-along, get-along, great teammate, whatever. And who has been, when he's played, bad. Why would you, who was trading for that? Who is trading for that? And I don't even mean you're not getting full value for Ja. I don't mean that.
Right.
I mean, unless it's like, I'll give you 3 firsts to take Ja. I'm just talking about, like, straight
right,
up.
Right.
Who is, like, I don't even think in challenge trades, like Trae Young or something like that. Who is giving you anything for Ja Morant? No one wants it. No one wants any part of it. I can't imagine. It strikes me that is a toxic asset at this point. So why would you want to take that on? You're going to have to be the guy who's going to be extending him. Now, the one thing that can change in that calculus is he can stop being bad.
Yes.
Right? He can't stop making a lot of money. He can also help his injury proneness and his he can produce evidence between
play
now
games.
And the end of the year. He can play games, he can be good, and he can be a good teammate.
Yeah.
Like, now, it won't erase the fact all the games he's missed and the fact that he hasn't always been a great teammate or a great member of an organization. He's been I think his teammates like him. I think he's been a supportive, good teammate in that way. But he can between now and the end of the year change that. He can remind people that he is awesome at basketball when he is awesome at basketball. And so I think there is very little chance that the Grizzlies can make a deal happen by the trade deadline. But he can, between now and the end of the season, he can supply evidence to suggest some of those other things aren't true. And therefore, he can either be more tradable or, as Chris pointed out, he can also be more attractive to keep.
A part of your franchise.
He can be, oh, well, maybe this will work.
Because if those things happen, then I start to question whether or not we're right about the second part, which is, at that point, are you better off going, listen, yes, this is flawed, but at the same time, what are the odds we're going to get a player this good?
Right. Well, that would change. I am more confident in when I say no, he would not be traded by the trade deadline,
yes,
than I am in my confidence that when I say no, he won't be a Grizzly next year.
Yes, significantly for me.
It may work out. You can imagine a world. Can I imagine a world where they extend him this summer?
It's tough, but I can.
How can you imagine a world? How about this? Can you imagine a world whereby they don't extend him this summer, but Ja and the Grizzlies both realize that their best path is to a happiness is to have him play another year without a contract? The Grizzlies, like, we can't trade him unless we were going to give a lot of stuff to have someone take him. And for Ja to realize, okay, I'm not getting a new contract from the Grizzlies, but I'm not getting a new contract from anyone else either. I just need to put my head down and be healthy and work on my three-point shot this summer and come back and have a good year. I'll still have a whole nother year on my contract, by the way. It's not like I need to get a new – can you imagine that?
The problem with imagining that is this is where I think having an outside agent would help, because then it starts to get personal.
Well, it does get muddy. It is absolutely true that the Lamar negotiations were muddied by the fact that he does not have an agent.
Yes.
Everyone would acknowledge that. And it's one of the reasons that they think that they could get muddy going forward with Lamar is because he doesn't have an agent. So the fact that Ja's agency is himself, I do think it is a – I think it is a massive question – for the Grizzlies. I guess the reason I voted, will he be a Grizzly next year? I think there's a level of exhaustion that sets in. And that is not true for a new franchise.
Sure.
Right? So for whether you're, again,
there's not history.
I don't think this is what, I don't think Utah's, you know, or Sacramento's tearing it down now. They're not trying to rebuild around a mid-career Ja Morant, it seemed to me. Like, the places where you would, like, Minnesota. Maybe Minnesota, but, like, the money. How does that all work? Like,
well, what about a team like Boston that knows, hey, it's not about this year, but...
It is interesting. If you could send him to a team, Minnesota would be the same. Minnesota,
yes,
or Boston or somewhere where he literally is not the star.
Correct.
Would you get a better, different Ja Morant? Ja Morant as a guy who is... That is interesting. Here, he has always been the star. So for him not to take the three at the end or not, like,
right,
it is such a – I mean, there's always the question with Charlotte, is it's home? Like,
yep.
Would they be interested? But they're building around some new young guys that they just drafted this year. It doesn't feel like Ja isn't someone who you just want to throw in the middle of a young team. You know, it seemed to me possible disruptive if you are really rebuilding. He'd almost be – his better landing spot might be a place that's on the verge of winning. You
right.
can get him at a total discount.
And you're banking on him not having to be.
And therefore his attitude might be better
right.
because he's, I could see that. I just think a level of exhaustion will have set in for this franchise. And the franchise, you could either go, we're tearing it down totally and toss in Jaren too, or you could say, as Chris said, split the baby. We're going to pause. We're going to continue, you know, whatever,
yep,
and find a new point guard. Hey, it's good to be back. We are here all week, well, through January 1. Then we'll be off.
We're here through the rest of 2025.
We are here through the rest of that. Look, like Jeffrey's a radio professional, putting it the right way. We are here through the rest of 2025. We will not leave you to fend for yourself in 2025. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next. The Rich Eisen Show will be next year on 92.9 FM ESPN. George will join myself and Kevin Cerrito live for Jeffrey Wright and Company, and then we will have more ESPN programming the rest of the afternoon after us.
We got to get out of here. Back to Mal for now. Our work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at RingCentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.